The Ambitious Radio Network. Conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders. Are you an entrepreneur, startup junkie, or just someone interested in improving their leadership skills? If you're looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening to Ambitious Radio will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with today's most influential thought leaders and entrepreneurs as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can apply immediately after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambitious Radio on the Ambitious Radio Network. This is your host, Doug Parker, and today we're going to be speaking with Pamela Herman. Pamela is a best-selling author, the host of a daily video series, The Morning Wood Show, W-O-U-L-D Wood Show, a national keynote speaker and co-founder of Create Buzz, a customer loyalty consultancy firm. Her book, The Customer Manifesto, was ranked number 3 by Business.com, and it's a must-read in the list of excellent customer service books for every business owner. Or I should say, an excellent customer service book every business owner should read. Welcome to the show, ma'am. How are you?
Thanks, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it sounds like you're doing all kinds of great stuff, and we're going to dig into that during the show. But just wanted to touch base briefly and get to know you a little bit. For those that don't know who you are, tell us about where you're from, what I maybe missed in the interview, where'd you grow up, and just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I currently hail from Denver, Colorado. I have two kids. I'm a single mom. My daughter is a nursing student in college. My son is a freshman in high school, big baseball player. So my focus is either on them or it's on my work, pretty much my life these days. But I was raised in Northern California, big family, and I've been here for about 20 years or so. So I'm pretty much a transplant Coloradan at this point. Absolutely lovely living here.
Fantastic. Yeah, and a little bit of a difference there from, I'm sure, that California, in Northern California and Denver with all the cold weather and the mountains and such.
You know, that is the biggest misconception about Denver. We have something like 330 sunshine days here, more than in Florida, believe it or not. So we typically get in the national news when we have like these monster blizzards, you know, like 3 feet will fall. And then the next day it's like a Courier and Ives postcard. It's beautiful blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. You're out there in a fleece shoveling with your neighbors. It's amazing. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Northern California, completely different. And it's really kind of funny, Doug, when I get off the plane and I go back to visit my parents in San Francisco, I step off the airplane and I can immediately smell like the water. That's the only thing Denver's missing is water. But, you just smell the ocean and everything about Northern California has scents associated with it. I think because Colorado is just high altitude, very low humidity, you just don't pick up on the scents. And it's kind of weird how that's the thing I think about whenever I go back home.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I was listening to something the other day and they were talking about how scent is one of the strongest senses to like bring back memories. And,
really?
Yeah. And it kind of hit me and I was like, you know, it's really weird that when I heard that, I thought, you know, that is kind of interesting because you can smell like a perfume or a cologne or, you go somewhere and you're like, man, this smells like my grandma's house, you know, or whatever. And when
that's mothballs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, and when you mention that, you know, like the smell of the ocean, it's like this nostalgic thing that takes you back. And, I like to travel to Costa Rica a lot. And it just now hit me kind of all of a sudden. It's like the weirdest thing. Like I'm pretty intense, pretty going all the time. And it really, for some reason, that's the one place in the world that I can like kind of unplug a little bit. And so I don't know if it's the smells. I don't know if it's the humidity. It's just a weird deal. When I go there, I just kind of seem to turn into a different person, like an unplug. But enough about me. Let's talk a little bit more about you. So when you're going through, you're this entrepreneur, you're relocated from Northern California to Denver, you're making things happen. You know, what's one of the things that if someone were to look at you and say, you know, this is something, one of your friends or one of your business partners, something along those lines that you're world class at, are there things that you really just knock it out of the park with that come to mind?
Well, the thing that I hear over and over from people, and it's, you know, it's third party perspective and it always kind of blows me away a little bit, but they're just like, dang, there's something about you, like, they observe me having conversations with complete strangers, and they're like, there's something that you do with people that's really unique from what anybody else is doing. It's like your ability to connect with people and to build trust with them in minutes is pretty astounding. And I hear that and I'm just like, well, I'm just being me. I'm just curious about people. And I just want to know what their story is. And it's not like I do this big probing expedition with brand new friends or acquaintances as I'm networking or standing in grocery lines. It's just that I'm really present in conversations. And I think that's what really stands out. And people kind of define it as charisma or something along those lines. But it's really just giving them my full attention. My eyes are on them. My head is nodding. I'm really hearing what they're saying. I'm questioning what they're saying, listening really acutely. Have natural curiosity. That's honestly, Doug, that's the one thing that stands out. And I'm like, well, how can I parlay that? Like, how can I bottle this thing and sell it to others? Because really, you know, when you hear that from somebody, you're thinking to yourself, it's kind of like a superpower. What can I do to help other people learn how to do this? Because it does make people feel really, really good. It makes them feel special. And if you can just kind of share the love that way, that's not a bad way to go about life, right?
Absolutely. Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because I am guilty of, you know, looking at my phone or, you know, my wife, you know, it's kind of interesting. So at some point in life, I ran across this thing called Start, Stop, Continue. And it has to do with, you know, it really works well, especially with subordinates in an organization, where you can say, hey, look, this is a free-for-all where, you know, there's nothing bad that's going to happen to you, but this is a safe environment where you can say, hey, here's what I want you to start doing that another leader has done maybe that I really appreciated. Here's what I want you to stop doing because it annoys me or whatever, and here's what I want you to continue doing. And it gives you this, you know, just an opportunity for them to really give you honest feedback where they won't get in any kind of trouble or dirty looks for telling you something.
Sure.
And so we've implemented some of that within our organizations. But the other day, it was on a personal level. My wife sends me this email that's like, start, stop, and continue. Stop doing this, start doing this, and continue doing this. And one of them was being present, to stop doing that, because I'm not, or to start doing that, I should say, because I'll be fiddling around with my phone, looking at Facebook or whatever, and I'm guilty of that. And I had the last couple times we've gone out to dinner, I've just had to like turn my phone face down and put it over the, you know, away from me, where unless it's something that vibrates like there's a super important thing, it's just like, set it aside. We're eating dinner. There's not an emergency that's going to come up probably in the next 45 minutes. And I had to be purposeful about that with her, because I was kind of taking advantage of that situation. But is that something that's always come naturally to you, or have you had to be aware to do that?
No, that's definitely a skill that I have honed. And it all started, actually, I'll tell you an interesting story. It started when I was working with a mentor, and he was helping me with some sales training. There was a real gap in my process. I was very good at building relationships with people right out of the gate, and I was good at closing. But it was sort of like that middle ground of how it is that you mine for information that really helps you really understand what it is that they want. And what are their challenges, and how are you best positioned to support them in getting them the result that they want? There was a gap in the middle of that. And he was kind of guiding me, and he said, here's just a few key questions that you can start to ask, and it'll really guide the tail end of your sales process. If you really understand how to ask these questions, how to really listen for the answer, and then apply what you're hearing to the close. I said, great. So he taught me a few key questions, and I'm happy to share them with you guys. But it was really through this process that I started really keying into this whole active listening. And the better I got at practicing this, the more I could see people were responding to it. And so what became a skill, literally was skill development, it became just part of my DNA. The just more ease I had with it. People didn't feel like they were being interrogated. There was just a natural flow in the way that I was doing it, and it can be taught. I completely subscribe to the idea that people can be taught how to be engaging in conversation, and it's really just revolves around awareness. And if you can just be more aware of what you're doing and how you are, how the interplay of communication happens with another person, then everything else disappears, the phone, the distractions, and that's what really stands out. So as I started applying these questions and really listening to the answers, what I found immediately, like the first time I applied these questions in a social situation just to kind of test it, I immediately saw a reaction from people, and I had this major epiphany. I thought, well, gosh, if people are responding so positively to this level of listening, then it must be pretty rare. That's when I hit on, oh my gosh, this is like my superpower. I can absolutely take a complete stranger, and in minutes, they'll be telling me things that they will self-admittedly say to me, I can't believe I'm telling you that. I've never told anybody that before. And that's when I knew I was onto something really big. So you want to hear the questions, Doug?
I would love to hear the questions.
Okay, so it's kind of based on this this concept that Joseph Campbell, if you're familiar with his writings, the hero's journey. And it really starts with understanding that the hero is a character in a story. And it could be your customer, your ideal customer. It could be just somebody that you're having a barbecue with, just a complete stranger. They're the hero in the story, okay? And they're telling you about their ordinary world. This is just their present state, what's going on with them. And we do this socially, right? We just ask little questions like, hey, how do you know Bob and Sally, the host of this barbecue? Oh, I work with Bob. Oh, really? What kind of work do you do? So you're establishing just the ordinary world. What is their present state, right? And then as you're having this conversation, you're trying to understand what would they, you know, what do they dream about? What do they think about? What, you know, what do they idealize? What, you know, you just try to take people into this future casting where it's like, well, what would you be doing if you didn't work? Or spring break is coming up. What kind of vacations are you guys, do you have planned? Oh, when you get to Costa Rica, what are you going to go ziplining? You're going to go see the monkeys? You're going to hang out at the beach? You know, what do you want to do? And as you can start to propel people into that future state, this is where, like, body language, you can see their eyes kind of gaze up as they start thinking about, you know, the future and something that hasn't existed yet. Now you're taking them into a place where they're just like, yeah, I'm really excited about going there. And all of a sudden the emotion starts coming to the top. So what separates the present world, the ordinary world, and their future? For most people, there are some obstacles. Yeah, we're not going on vacation this spring break because, you know, finances are a little bit low. Oh, really? What, well, you know, what's preventing you? Like, what do you need in order to make that happen? And if you can identify those challenges, both socially and in a sales conversation or just in any conversation, really, then you can start to understand, how can I help this person? How can I be of service and take those obstacles off the path? So that's really the three points to this. It's, what is their current situation? What do they want? And what are the obstacles that are preventing them from having that? Like, why don't they have it right now? What have they tried and has not been successful? And if you can identify those three parts in a conversation, then that's really the DNA that holds the relationship together. It says to the other person, it throws them signals that you're listening, that you care, that you want to help them get those obstacles off the path. And whether you can help them or you know somebody that can, then that's closing the sale right there. It's that simple.
My goodness, that is great information for our listeners. And I really appreciate you kind of digging a little deeper there and sharing that with us. And guys, I will put links to everything that you're hearing on Ambitious Radio, and you can go check it out. You can just type in Pamela's name on there and it'll pull up the show notes. Looking really forward to continuing the conversation right after a brief word from our sponsor. Tune in, we'll be talking more to Miss Pamela Herman and the things that she's doing right here on the Ambitious Radio Network.
Another RepairMyCreditNow.com story.
It's a day this family had dreamed of for quite some time. They were finally getting that brand new SUV. The salesperson at the auto dealership gave them the keys and told them to take it for the weekend. He'd prepared the documents and called them Monday morning. The kids had already installed the headrest DVD when the phone rang. Seems there was a problem with their credit they were unaware of. They'd have to return the SUV to the dealership immediately. Embarrassing, to say the least.
www.repairmycreditnow.com.
Hello, this is Doug Parker with repairmycreditnow.com. Do you have less than perfect credit, a repo, maybe some late payments, a collection account? Are they being reported accurately? Studies show that over 70% of Americans have inaccuracies on their credit reports. Where do you fit in? Go to repairmycreditnow.com for your free credit report evaluation. And remember, your credit is your future. If you want to get started now, log on now. repairmycreditnow.com.
repairmycreditnow.com. www.repairmycreditnow.com.
All right, welcome back to the Ambitious Radio Network. Today we've got Pamela Herman here with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about her professional adventures, kind of some of the things that she's working on right now. I know you're with Create Buzz, and I want to hear a lot about that. I want to hear more about your book as well. So let's just kind of dig right in and tell us, you know, how is it that you monetize your businesses? What is it exactly that you do?
Well, oftentimes when I meet somebody, say networking, for example, I'll just ask them some questions about their work, and they'll say, oh, you know, I do X, Y, Z for a living, and they'll reciprocate and say, what do you do? And I say pretty simply, I help brands tell their story. And typically that's when people kind of lean in and they're just like, really, what is that all about? Well, here's what's underneath that statement, Doug, is that every brand has a story, right? That there's a combination of people and products and services that make them completely unique in the marketplace. Even if you're selling something like salt or gasoline, something that's highly commoditized, there's still a story behind it. And maybe your prospect, the person that you're having a conversation with, is in a very price competitive niche. What I help them understand is that if you can tell your brand story about the people and why you do what you do, kind of ties back to what Simon Sinek made famous, this whole idea of, you know, the power of why. And that's really what we help brands understand, is that you have these micro hits as consumers. And what you need to do as a brand is you have to be doing it really differently than anybody else in your niche. You have to differentiate by saying, this is why we do what we do. Here are the people behind it. Here's why we care about you. And we care about you getting a solution. And if you can lead with that, that's what creates these emotional connections. So when we were talking about just face-to-face, you know, socializing or networking and creating connectedness, well, that relatability, that today, now more than ever, has to be conveyed in seconds. It has to be done through visual elements on your website and through really good copywriting. And that's what we help brands understand, is that clear and concise copy and visual elements that tell a story in seconds. That's the key to anything, whether it's social media, getting your emails opened up, your website and the marketing messages that are there, your sales team, your receptionist who's picking up the phone. Like, everybody's got to be on point with what it is that you do and what makes you different from the competition. So Create Buzz was designed to help small to middle market companies accomplish just that. Is to say, look, you have the advantage of being nimble in the marketplace. We're going to show you exactly how to design a conversation that is uniquely yours, so that there's no question in a prospect's mind what makes you different from everybody else.
So can you give an example of that kind of clear and concise copy? And then you said the visuals that are associated with your website, but can you give a little more specific on what that would look like?
Sure. So there's a client that we're working with, and they sell all of the kind of the back end products and services for warehousing. So anything that you need, from shrink wrap to boxing tape, to box cutters, anything that has to do with warehouse equipment and with their with the products that support getting stuff out the back end of the business, right? So when you go to their website, it pretty much just says, you know, this is what we do. The problem is that it's a highly commoditized niche, right? Like, it's a very price competitive niche. And so we're saying to them, look, here's what makes you guys really different. You're a small company. You're located in Denver. You have a very specific type of client that you're looking for in a highly commoditized area. We need to just position you so that it looks like there's a personality behind this. Otherwise, you're just going to be competing on price. So really designing what the logo looks like, what the copy looks like, in a way that just makes it so much fun. We see the personality behind it. We see the people behind it. And that's what creates that that relatedness. Is that making sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I just, you know, for those that are listening, there's a lot of folks that are just starting their businesses. They're entrepreneurs that are, you know, maybe a year or two into it. And, you know, it's like so many things, you know, you just kind of get started because you got an idea, and then you back into a lot of the other things. So I just wanted you to elaborate just a little bit on that, because it gives an example of, you know, what the personality of the people are. They may maybe selling that commoditized whatever. But there's people that are always behind the process and behind the product, and so that's great information. Now, I see that you're going to be speaking at an upcoming event in Denver in June. Can you tell us a little bit about what that event is and what you're going to be speaking on?
Which event is that? I've got a couple on the calendar.
I think it's Digital Summit.
Oh, Digital Summit. Yeah. So Digital Summit is it's going to be an interesting spin on what I do. So part of what we do when we're talking about customers and how do we create connectedness, part of that is understanding what is your customer's journey. So customer's journey might start when they pick up the phone and they talk to a real human being that's answering your phone. It might be when they land on your website and they just did, you know, just the basic SEO, they found your website and they landed there. It might start by doing just a kind of a long tail search in Google and they saw a product of yours pop up, and that's the point of entry. So customer journey mapping is what happens when a customer lands on your brand, and what does that messaging look like as you're taking them through this process of purchasing and building a relationship with them. So that event I'm going to be speaking specifically about customer journey mapping, specifically as it relates to like emails, for example. So if somebody buys in, probably some of your entrepreneurs listening might have an offer on their website, for example. So what happens from that first touch point when they land on your website? Are they reading the personality? Are they really understanding what the offer is? And is it congruent with that first email that they receive, right? Is the languaging the same? Is the personality still there? Do they really start to develop any sort of a connectedness emotionally, because that was super important to this whole consumer process, right? Are they connecting with you emotionally so that when email 2 comes or email 12 comes, it's still the personality? Or when you hop into social media, for example, is that brand personality still translating? Maybe your company has a few people working on social media for you. Are they all congruently using the voice of the brand? And so that's what I'm going to be speaking at Digital Summit, is really helping them understand this is how consumer behavior and technology merge together. And it's really just kind of a stacking of digital over relationship. And that's what I'm going to help them better understand so that they can bring those forward, those tips forward into their business.
Digital over relationship. I really like that, you know, kind of overlay. And sometimes it can get where it's just this cold, you know, informational place on the internet, and there's so much more that you can do with it nowadays. So
absolutely.
That is really, really cool. Now, let's talk about, you know, your business. I mean, obviously, you know, you're nailing it now. You got it. You got the tiger by the tail and you got confidence. You know what you're doing. But most of the time, entrepreneurs, you know, they run through some hard times at some point.
Yeah.
So, yes. You know, there's failures, there's fears. Can you tell us about maybe one of the things that you were either fearful of in the beginning, or maybe something that was one of the failures that you, it was really disappointing at the time, but it was one of your favorite failures that you learned from?
Well, I really cut my teeth in internet marketing. And what was really confusing to me early on, I mean, I knew that I had the chops to be successful as an entrepreneur, because I've always been one. And so there was never really any fear about success. But the messaging that I was seeing from people who were creating trainings to better help me understand how to bring, you know, my superpower into the world was really confusing, because there was messaging around how immediate you could have success. And what I have found over time is, you know, this whole model of apprenticeship, like in the old days, it took 7 years for you as an apprentice to really get to the point of mastery. I really think that still holds true today, because I'm literally about 7 years into, you know, this new iteration of my life as a full-blown personal brand. And it has taken me this long to really figure out all of the nuances, because there's so many, it's just like a gears in an engine. There's so many parts to this, right, Doug? It's just like you have to have at least competency in so many different areas. It takes a long time to develop that. And so for the confusion in my mind was, why isn't this success happening for me? Why isn't it happening like I'm seeing it happen with these people over here who are saying that they achieved, you know, the results that they wanted in 3 months? And I was holding a mirror to myself saying, what's wrong with me? The reality is that those individuals who are peddling whatever it is that they're peddling, they have come to where they are today with skill, knowledge, experience, and that's what's lending them to their success. And what they're trying to do is fast forward me, you know, as just any consumer out there looking for a solution, they're trying to fast forward me through the process. And I found complete frustration with it, because I think there's an evolution that happens through time, through skill development, through experiences, that really brings you to that pinnacle where you're just like, okay, now I get it. Now I see where I fit into the marketplace. I found my little thin slice of the market. I'm going to drop anchor right here. I'm going to work on brand story, and I'm going to focus on that. Can I do social media? Yes. Can I do email marketing and automation? Absolutely. Web design? Absolutely. All of those things I can do, but I'm going to drop my anchor in the thin slice right here. So that frustration that I have felt over a course of many years was really just an understanding that I wanted to be able to have competency in all these areas, but it just doesn't happen overnight. Learning takes time, and applying what you're learning into different business models takes time. So that's the place that where I am today, where I kind of sit back in total gratitude for 7 years of just really intentional, purposeful work, filled with frustration, doubt, uncertainty, questioning whether I was worthy, all of the personal development mindset issues that come with that. Yes, I went through all of those. And every time I just kind of fell down on my knees and I was in a ditch, it's just like, okay, your back's up against the wall, you're a single mom, you got to figure this out. You've got nothing else to rely on but your own desire and free will. So pull yourself up and go. Let's keep going. And that's really what I think defines that true entrepreneurial spirit, is just that relentless pursuit of that next level. Anything less than that, you may as well just go work for somebody else, because you just won't survive in it. So you've just got to push through all of the mindset, you know, landmines that happen. You've experienced that, right, Doug?
Absolutely. Yeah. Ups and downs and all arounds. And I think you're right. If you can't take, you know, a little bit of disappointment, a little bit of failure along the way, you might as well work for someone else. And there are some benefits, honestly. I mean, I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, or maybe kind of what a wantrepreneur, where they want to be one, but they're not quite there yet. And I'm like, look, not having a boss is sometimes great. But sometimes if you're not the right kind of person to be an entrepreneur, it's great to have a boss, because you can just, you know, delegate all these things that you don't want to do to them. Mm-hmm. Because when you're the person in charge, you know, there's no hours. It's all hours. I jokingly say, you know, I work half days nowadays, and they're typically, you know, about 12 hours a day. And that's just kind of how I operate, you know, because
I love it.
You always have to be, you know, in a place to, you know, to answer the questions and call, you know, customers, whatever's going on. You don't have someone that you can clock out at 5 o'clock and not worry about it again till the next morning at 8 or 9 o'clock. You're always on as an entrepreneur. So interesting stuff. Well, for sure. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, do we have time for a quick story before your next break?
Sure.
I was on a walk on Sunday, and I was just vibrating really low. I don't know. I think I was just feeling really overwhelmed. I had a lot of deadlines that were coming up this week, and I was just feeling, oh my gosh, can I get through this? And on this walk, I had this epiphany where I was just like, you know, everything that you have today, you've created. You've created it out of, like, vapor. Like, it was nothing more than thoughts. I mean, you created things that are serving people. And isn't that something to be really proud of? How many people can do that? It's a small percentage of people, realistically, that can take thoughts and create things out of them, and create things, not just anything, but things that serve people at a really higher level. And that's something to be really proud of. Very, very few people can do that. And so it's not that I was sitting there in a really proud, prideful moment, but whenever I'm vibrating really low, which happens for everybody, regardless of your situation, where you're just like, ugh, I'm just feeling really melancholy today, that's really a trigger that you're being too egocentric. And if you can focus outward and just say, you know, how are you serving and how can you better serve, instead of turning inward, that's really the key to kind of breaking those mental states that are just low. They don't serve you at all. They're going to happen. But take a quick assessment of how it is that you're serving and how can you better serve. And then all of a sudden you're instead of projecting inward, you're projecting out. So great little lesson in that.
Oh, I'm glad that you paused me for a minute on that and shared that, because that is great information, because you do get run down sometimes. Great, great information for ambitious listeners. And guys, if you like what you're hearing, subscribe by texting the word ambitious to 69922. Standard messaging rates will apply. And next we'll be talking more to Pamela on here on Ambitious Radio Network about what she's doing next. And as an entrepreneur, how does she transition to do that? Tune in right after a brief word from our sponsors. Are you tired of paying too much for electricity from the former monopolies and getting terrible customer service? Do you really even know how much you're paying per kilowatt? Sometimes they quote you a lower rate, but then add back in the delivery charge. Ugh, how frustrating. Go to electricity.guru, that's right, .guru, for your free analysis. Who knows, with just a few referrals, you could actually earn free electricity. If you're tired of paying outrageous electricity bills, do something about it. Would you like to get a significant discount or even get free electricity? Go to electricity.guru and compare our rates to what you're currently paying. Many of our clients are saving anywhere from 15 to 20%. We also have a referral program that allows you to earn free electricity. Yes, free electricity. And you cannot beat free cents per kilowatt. Award-winning service, competitive rates, and low deposits, if even required. Go to electricity.guru for more details. That's electricity.guru. We offer free energy credits to customers who refer and activate 15 or more qualified customers to our electricity service and are not passed through their bill. To get your free energy credit, your customers must be referred through the free customer gathering website. See electricity.guru for more details. Welcome back to the Ambitious Radio Network. This is your host, Doug Parker. And today we have another great guest. I'll tell you what, Pamela Herman is knocking it out of the park, giving tons of just golden nuggets for you as an entrepreneur, how to get through stuff, how to promote your business. And, you know, really, we're going to talk, you know, a little bit more about her ambitious journey. What are the things that she's focused on now? And then how is she, you know, the vision for the future? How do you transition through those things? So let's just jump right in and talk a little bit about it. I know that you recently wrote a book, and it's a very well known book. Can you talk a little bit about that? What made you decide to write the book? What's in it? And then how do you transition to what's next?
Sure. So the Customer Manifesto was born out of a singular transaction that I was having with PetSmart, believe it or not. And my son, Elliot, had at that point in time a pet lizard. And lizards, I know it's kind of funny, like pet and lizard in one sentence, they really don't go to, like, if you can't hug it, is it really a pet? So different story for a different day. Elliot's lizard eats live crickets, and they only last for about a week to 10 days. So every week I was in PetSmart, and it was the same gal behind the register every single time that I would go in. And every single week, she wouldn't even look at me. She wouldn't even make eye contact. She was kind of looking at the register or whatever. And she would say, "Are you a member of our loyalty program?" And I would just kind of stand there. After a while, it became a little bit of a cat and mouse game for me, because I thought, at one point, is she going to look up and recognize me? Not that I'm expecting her to remember my phone number. That's not the point. What I'm looking for is for her to look at me, up at me, and say, "How's the lizard doing?" Or, "Oh my gosh, we've got a big weather front coming in." Just something that created some sort of a connection with me, just a simple engagement, right? And I thought it was ironic that she was asking me about a loyalty program when she couldn't even make eye contact with me. And it was these little tiny observations, Doug, that I kind of key into these things through my day-to-day, you know, going through my life and my work and interactions with businesses, right? So this became like a little game to me. I thought maybe it's this week that she's just going to recognize my face and say, "Hey, how you doing?" But it never happened. That was the catalyst for me writing the Customer Manifesto. So the whole premise of the book was to say, look, if you want to understand how to earn loyalty from a customer, I'm going to tell you from the perspective of the customer, because most customer loyalty books and teachings for businesses are written from sort of the theoretical down, from business down, top down. And I wanted one bottom up. It's like, I'm a customer. My expectations are changing. My behaviors using mobile are changing. What are you doing as a business to meet me where I am and my new expectation? And so with the power of the internet and ratings and reviews, it's now the tail wagging the dog. And we as consumers have way more power. I think now we have a better understanding. At the time that these thoughts were kind of percolating in my mind, it's when ratings and reviews were fairly new and a lot of businesses didn't really understand how to leverage social proof. But I thought to myself, you know, as soon as consumers understand their power, businesses will start to change their behaviors and they'll start to meet us where we want to be. And that's exactly what we see with ratings and reviews. We're going to dictate the purchasing behaviors of others based on our opinion of how a business is serving. And you see the results of it now. Everybody is looking at ratings and reviews to help make decisions like, do I want to buy this book? Or do I want to watch this movie on Netflix? Or do I want to go to that Mexican restaurant? And what are my peers saying on Facebook and people that I know? So sure enough, that's what the book was really written about. So it's 10 simple things that businesses can do to to earn the loyalty that customers are absolutely willing to give.
Got it. Now, let's talk about, you know, transitioning through. Are you wanting to write more books? Was that just something you just kind of had packed in there and thought, you know what, I really need to share this? And if you are interested in writing other books or not, are there other projects that you're thinking about working on?
That's a great question. So I love to write and I love to share my ideas through writing, but writing for me is, it's a labor. It's a very hard thing. I do it all wrong. They call it over-squeezing. I really over-squeeze what I write, meaning I just overwork it. It's really not the best medium for me. I really prefer video. So that's where the Morning Wood Show really came from. It was just like, let's take some ideas. Maybe it's an article that we read, an experience that we had. Let's have a conversation about it with my business partner, Patty Dominguez, and let's just kind of riff on what's happening in trends with marketing and businesses and branding and consumer behavior. And so the idea of writing another book, while it's a lovely idea, it's really probably not the best use of my time. So that's the great thing about business today. We have all these different mediums and people like, you know, they like quick hits of information. So 10-minute video is perfect for us and people get the point very clearly and concisely. So that's my new method for distributing new content into the world.
So the Morning Wood Show, and again, we said it was WOULD. Now, how would someone go about checking out that show if they wanted to check it out?
Hop on over to createbuzznow.com, and you'll see in the nav bar a little vlog. Just click on that button. It'll take you right to all of our episodes.
So go to createbuzznow.com, and then you said there's a vlog link?
There's a blog button. Yep.
Perfect. All right. Well, yes. we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes, and then make sure that everybody can check that out. You know, and I'm going through that as I'm thinking, you know, there's so many people out there, they want to write a book and because they want to be a published author, and it's a different, you know, world now than it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago with some of the self-publishing options and what have you. But I'm glad you shared that because there's a lot of people just like this podcast, you know, it's something where, you know, podcast/radio show, we've got it here in Dallas on the radio, on the air, but we also podcast it out and pretty much anybody can go be a podcaster. You don't have to go have a radio show to make it happen. And it's amazing how much content you can get if you just, you know, go out there and listen, or if you just want to create your own. So it's really exciting, the world that we live in today. It's really disruptive and changing a lot of things. Now, as we kind of close out this segment, we've got maybe a minute or two. Can you just tell us a little bit about, kind of from a visioning standpoint, going through that process of, you know, hey, I'm doing this wood show, then I've got the book that I wrote, but then you've also got to focus on what's like legitimately making you money, right? So how do you transition through that? And then are those things that you're trying to monetize, or are they more of a brand building piece for yourself?
What a great question. Yeah, the bread and butter for our business is through consulting. And then there's parts of it where we're like, we always have a big heart for the smaller entrepreneur. How can they engage with our content? And so we have a community online. It's through Facebook. It's a closed membership area where we provide content for you all the time, insights, free webinars. And that's a way for us to kind of scale our time, leverage a little bit better our time, and bring people who don't have the big budgets, like our consulting clients, bring them the same content so that they can implement it as well. So that's called our Momentum Project, and it's just really helped people help the entrepreneur, the little guy, level up. So that's how we, that's kind of the next iteration of our business, is that residual income that comes through scaling, yeah?
Very good. You know, and I had John Lee Dumas on the show a while back, and he talked about a bunch of different things, how, you know, other people's agendas and some of the things that he does, and he's very open about his income and those types of things. He actually publishes it on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
But that scaling and showing how to do some of those things, it creates that residual. It makes such a huge difference. And while it's as you mentioned, it makes it more affordable for the smaller guys, it also creates that scalability and that leverage where you can kind of throw it out there almost, you know, kind of one time, but keep it producing income for you for a long period. It's a little bit of incremental income over a long period of time on a monthly basis. So that's great, great information. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And, you know, we're getting to nearing the end of the show where we're wrapping everything up. We've got one more quick segment. And after another brief word from our sponsors, we'll be right back with Pamela. And she'll be talking more about how she recharges her ambitious body, mind, and spirit right here on the Ambitious Radio Network. Hello, this is Doug Parker, and I have been working with loan officers for over 2 decades. And if you're looking for a new mortgage, I want to introduce you to Jeff Janash. He's with Town Square Mortgage. This guy's got programs for every situation, whether you're self-employed, you need down payment assistance, a cash out refinance for debt consolidation. They can even do jumbo loans with 10% down. Rates are very competitive. Their service exceeds expectations. They're 2-time 5-star professional award winner. Very quick turnarounds. They can actually get loans closed in 3 weeks. A great program to be part of if you want to get in, get out, don't want to play a bunch of games. These guys are here local and can take really good care of you. I've known Jeff for many, many years, and he's actually available after hours. Give Jeff Janash a call, 972-292-7599, or you can go to tsmlending.com. That's tsmlending.com. T like town, S for square, M for mortgage, lending.com. Town Square Mortgage, 17300 Dallas Parkway, Suite 1030, Dallas, Texas, 75248. NMLS ID, 169224. All right, we're back on the Ambitious Radio Network, and we've got Pamela Herman here with us, and we're going to be talking about how she recharges her ambitious body, mind, and spirit. And, you know, there's a lot of different things. This can go a lot of different directions, but, you know, really just want to talk about really kind of your daily rhythm. What does that look like? You know, from everything, from what time you get up, how much sleep you get, you know, maybe, you know, your meal cycles, those kinds of things. But just kind of starting off, I mean, do you have a daily rhythm of sleep?
Well, you were just talking about John Lee Dumas, and I know him fairly well. You know he's ex-military, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And John's journal that he's come out with is based on, you know, his process for achieving success. And it's the guy's super regimented, right? Everything that he does, from when he brushes his teeth to what he drinks and everything that he does on a day-to-day basis is based on patterns of consistency. And that's his formula for success for him. So I always looked at people like that, and I thought, I love that level of discipline. It's a commitment to the process, right? Not just about the outcome, but it's really about the journey. And I, as much as I admire it and I have tried to emulate it, it just doesn't work for me. So I have resigned to the fact that I will never be John Lee Dumas, and you know, getting up at 6:13 in the morning to do X, Y, and Z is just not the way I roll. So the good news is I've kind of found a cadence for myself that works, and it's just a matter for everybody to figure out first, you know, what are the key things that you want to accomplish on a day-to-day basis, and what is it that you want to commit to. So for me, exercise is really kind of key, and this is a new thing for me. I have a kind of a smaller frame, and so I've been able to kind of skate through the necessity to work out on a day-to-day basis. But then I had a heart attack a year ago, and I thought, okay, that's got to change. I need to do something a little bit different here. So every single day I commit to going to an hour-long ballet class, and it's just perfect for me. It's not high aerobic, but it's flexibility, it's strengthening, it's a lot of isometric, so there's a lot of mind work that comes into it, and it's almost like my time for some Zen space. And it took me, I want to say probably took me 2 months of going consistently every single day to really get into that. I love it so much that I want to go every day, and it's not even a choice anymore. It's just what I do. It's part of my process. And so getting over those first 30 to 60 days of creating patterns, that was the big hurdle for me. So ballet is a non-negotiable. Anything outside of that revolves around my family and my kids and their, you know, their demands and what they need. So when they're with me, my focus is almost 100% on them. Obviously, when they're at school, I focus on work. But when we have stretches when they're with me and not with their father, then my attention shifts to them. And when they're with their dad, I do sprints and I've got my head down and I'm focusing on work. So other than that exercise piece, my day is very, very fluid. And I love to keep it that way. That's Doug, this is the thing that I have been working really, really hard toward, is creating fluidity in my day so that I'm doing the things that I want when I want to do them. That's really what we're trying to do in life, right? It's just to have some freedom. And so for me, that's a very high value proposition, the freedom to say, okay, I'm going to time block for this client here, and then I'm going to go out for a hike over here. I'm going to do some earthing. I'm going to sit under a tree, get centered, whatever I need to do. But having that fluidity, to me, high value, very high value for my day.
Well, now you breezed past something real quick, and I want to go back and hit it real quick if you're okay with it. So, a quick question. So ballet, was that something you did as a child, or did you just pick that up as an adult last year?
My daughter was a ballet dancer, so I spent a lot of money watching her, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do this because I love the shape of a ballerina's body, and I want to achieve that too. I want to have flexibility, and I want to feel good, and I don't want another heart attack. So no, never did it as a kid.
Okay, so that's something that's very interesting, because when I think of ballerinas, I think of, you know, these little bitty girls then growing up into, you know, adults that have been doing it for their whole life, and that's an example just for someone that they may have wanted to be a ballerina their whole life and they never did it. And then at whatever the age is, you decided, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it. And you did. And so that's always cool to hear kind of breaking down those barriers. Now, you breezed by that heart attack thing. So let's talk about that for a minute. Okay. Because, you know, entrepreneurs, and I know I'm personally guilty of it, but, you know, between what you eat, you know, exercise or lack thereof, being sedentary, sitting in front of a computer all day long, I mean, those are not good, you know, combinations of things. So no. Did it sneak up on you, or did you feel like you were kind of pushing the envelope? And then what other things have you changed other than ballet? Because if you have a heart attack, most people don't just say, oh, I'm going to do ballet now and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting because if you were to look at me, like if we were meet face to face and you were to look at me, you'd think that I was the picture of health. And like I said, that's just God-given. I had nothing to do with it. It's just the way I was born, right? So I think that there was this perception with my doctors, because I always had high cholesterol. It's just a genetic thing, that, oh, it's not a big deal. Do you want to go on a statin or not? You know, they kind of left it up to me because they would look at me and I look healthy. But what was going on the inside was not good at all, to the point that, you know, to have, you know, your cholesterol level at 300, That's like a major red flag. And so it was the heart attack that became the catalyst for my doctors to sit back and say, oh my gosh, wow, what's really happening underneath the hood? And I had to kind of take a personal assessment for myself and say, you know, I don't really feel like I'm under a tremendous amount of stress. And yeah, my dad has heart disease. There's five kids in my family. The majority of them are on statins. We never really talked about it before. But that was kind of the wake-up call. It's not just how you look. It's kind of like there's all these things as you start to age that are happening that you need to start paying attention to and monitoring with a little bit more seriousness. So that was sort of my, oh my God, I'm getting older moment that I had chosen to ignore for all those years.
Well, and let that be just a reality check. At no matter what age you are, no matter what level of stress you have, no matter of well, you look like you're in shape or you're not in shape. You know, whenever I turned 30 years old, I've kind of been an entrepreneur my whole life, and going a million miles an hour and working, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week is very common my whole entire life. But when I was 30, I was like, I'm going to the doctor and I want you to poke me, prod me, do everything you could possibly check me for, because I don't want to be that guy. I'm, you know, seemingly in pretty good shape, but I don't do any exercise and I eat terrible. And I was like, I don't want to be that guy. This was at 30. And I don't want to be that guy at 40 that looks up and strokes out, you know, and it looked fine. And then, you know, but it wasn't on the inside. And so, you know, it's a good reality check for me because I just turned 40 last year. And now I'm into that stage again of, hey, you know what? I probably need to have a for real, super thorough check. You know, I do the annual stuff and you know, I take supplements and I try to eat a little bit better, but I'm still not as good at exercising as I need to be. And so that's just one of those things. As an entrepreneur, you get focused on things and something has to give. You know, it's either your family, your, you know, your business, your health, you know, there's only so much time in a day. We all have 168 hours in a week. And so you really have to do that. And you don't want to look up and have a heart attack. And it looks like you've recovered nicely from that. And hopefully there's no long-term, you know, effects of that. But, you know, the reality is there's a lot of people that they don't recover nicely. You know, they do have a stroke and they have some paralysis or some speech problems. And people that are dynamic speakers or they've got that personality to go out and do it, it can be a absolute life altering, you know, situation. So not to rain on anybody's parade. It's great that it worked out, you know, and you changed some things, but you know, maybe not that I'm a doctor, not that I'm giving medical advice, but hey, check yourself out, make sure you're in good shape. And, you know, there's typically a couple of other things that we like to go over in the show, but it's hard to believe we are at the absolute end. So we got about 30 seconds. Could you maybe do just a quick, if someone wanted to interact with you, if they would like to have maybe become part of that group where they can subscribe and you know, get leveraged into what you've got going on, or maybe have you do some consulting for them, how would they get in touch with you? Are you social? Do you get out there on the web?
Oh, I'm always ferreting around in Facebook, so you can find me there. My last name is spelt with two R's and two N's, so HERRMANN. So look for me in Facebook, absolutely, or you can go to createbuzznow.com. You can find me there. You can find me at PamelaHerman.com. So yeah, I'm sort of all over the place on the internet, not hard to find. I always pick up my phone. So yeah, just reach out. Let's have a conversation and let me know where you are with your work. What I can do to best support you, I'll guide you along. And if I can't help you, I'll certainly find somebody who can. So please don't hesitate to reach out. That's just the first simple step.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know we had a little bit of a scheduling conflicts there, and we got those all worked out. But thanks for carving out some time. I got a ton of great information. I'm sure our listeners did as well.
Well, the pleasure was all mine, Doug. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And we also want to thank our sponsors. Ambitious Radio could not do it without you. Remember, tune in Saturdays to Ambitious Radio, where we interview thought leaders and exciting entrepreneurs changing the faces of their organizations. Remember, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So get out there and be ambitious.
Thank you for listening to the Ambitious Radio Network, hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with ambitious entrepreneurs and thought leaders on topics that can be applied immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.